You might want to keep your Bibles open on the passages that we had read. Maybe have a finger on each to look back at them as we go through. but it's the world's bestseller, a library of 66 books, and to many people all over the world, it's their most valuable possession. To others, the Bible is something to mock and ridicule. And to yet others, it perhaps just contains a few nice moral lessons, but nothing more. Some people view the Bible as old and outdated. Many around the world view it as God's living word and totally relevant, changing lives today as it has throughout history. Hopefully, that's the case for you, that you believe the Bible is God's word, that it's relevant to your life today, that it speaks with authority, and that it is God speaking directly to us. But I wonder what you think, and I don't mean just kind of give the right answer in your heart, but what does it look like practically in your life through the way you approach the Bible and speak about it? What do you think the Bible is? What do you believe it to be? How does it impact the way you live your life? And then I wonder, what do your friends and neighbours make of the Bible? Have you had any conversations recently that shed light on their thoughts about this great book? Well, we're in a series looking at our church ethos, so it's a bit of a different preaching series to what we'd normally do. We normally go through a book of the Bible and carry it through. This is a thematic series, thinking about our church ethos, the kind of church that we believe God wants us to be under him. He is the head of his church, as we considered last week, as we thought about what it means to be Christ-centered. And this morning, we're thinking about what it means to be Bible believers. Bible believers. So we have a statement for each aspect of our ethos, and this morning, for Bible believers, ethos statement number two, the Bible is God's word. It's the guide for our practice and the source of our teaching. We're united in its essential truths. We're happy with diversity on secondary matters. Well, there's a lot that our ethos doesn't say because we have a statement of faith as a church. And if you're not sure what our statement of faith says, we're part of the FIEC, the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. And it's on our church website if you'd like to have a look at the statement of faith, the kind of doctrinal statement about the things that we believe, doctrinal basis. And that statement speaks of God revealing himself in the Old and New Testament scriptures alone. It speaks of the inspiration and reliability of scripture, as well as its great authority and sufficiency. Our ethos gives you a sense of what we're like as a church. As a Bible-believing church, we want to be united together in the Bible's essential truths. The truths about God's amazing rescue mission for mankind that are essential for our salvation and for living as a Christian in the day-to-day. These core essential truths are things like Jesus being fully God and fully man, Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross for our sins, Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead, and his visible return as judge at the end of time. These are what we might call essential truths that are vital for the Christian gospel and the Christian faith. It doesn't mean that secondary matters or other things are unimportant. For example, as a church, we teach believers' baptism as we see it in Scripture, and it's a joy to be able to baptize people who've confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus. But we don't believe that if people are holding a different view on baptism, that that should be a barrier for somebody committed as a committed Christian being part of the church family here at REC. So that just gives you a bit of a flavor as to kind of our stance on that. Different local churches choose to draw the lines, as it were, differently and do different things. But at REC, we want to be united first and foremost in the gospel and in the core truths of God's word, the Bible. And that includes, within our church family, people from all kinds of different church backgrounds and some from none at all who are exploring the Christian faith. I grew up in an Anglican church, was part of a Baptist church, and then found my way to independent FIEC churches. I'm sure others of us have different stories of how we've been involved in different types of churches. But actually, it's what makes us a Christian, what Christ has done, that is at the heart of who we are as his people. And we want to welcome all into his loving family here at REC. And one thing that I think became really apparent during the pandemic was just how spoilt for choice in this country we are, with different flavors, if you like, of church. And that's without even thinking about kind of online church and people maybe logging in and hopping over to join a church across the seas. And one of the dangers there has been, as people have talked and reflected, kind of coming out of the pandemic, is that we can end up kind of looking for the perfect church. We can look for that perfect church that ticks all the right boxes for us. And by that, what we can sometimes mean by the perfect church is a church that shares every single theological conviction that I have, right to the smallest details. There is no perfect church here on earth, just in case you were wondering about that for a moment. But just like on social media, the danger is that we could go looking for an echo chamber of our own views without seeking to learn from one another and be sharpened by our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we want to, at REC, keep the main thing the main thing. Keep God's word, the Bible, and its truth right at the center of what we do. Imagine two missionary families who love God's word, who passionately love Jesus. They're committed evangelical Christians. And they both move to the same rural village in a country they've never been to before as they seek to serve the Lord. Imagine if they started to get to know one another and they thought, well, we're all evangelical Christians. We believe the Bible is true. We both love Jesus as families. We both believe in him as Lord and Savior. We both want to reach the lost with the gospel. But we can't meet together to encourage one another and be a part of the same church because they're into hymns and we're into contemporary music. That's such a tragedy, isn't it? Such a shame. In a place where there might be no Bible churches if people can't come together because of a minor issue. Another scenario, perhaps thinking about different details about Jesus' return and exactly what's going to happen when Jesus comes back to earth. Two families love the Lord, passionate about him, but just can't quite agree on slight details about Jesus' return. Not able to be in the same church together. I think that's really sad that that happens. And so can I encourage us this morning to think about, as I think about the Bible, what are the non-negotiables? What are the absolute core things at the heart of my faith? And what are the things that I can agree to disagree on? That's really important. Because in a world that's constantly dividing people and putting people into boxes, what does it look like for us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, to listen and to understand different points of view and to love one another as we are united in the central truths of God's word? As an evangelical church, we're committed to being Bible believers, a Bible-believing church. And what unites us, if we're born-again believers, if we've been saved by the Lord Jesus, is so much greater than what might seek to divide us. And so one thing that is absolutely essential for our unity when thinking about this topic is believing that the Bible is the word of God. Does anybody know who said this? To what greater inspiration and counsel can we turn than to the imperishable truth to be found in this treasure house, the Bible? Anyone want to have a guess? Fairly close, yeah, to Winston Churchill. No, it was actually the late Queen Elizabeth II. As she was very open about her faith. The Bible, this treasure house. It is, isn't it? When we think about God's word, we think of the richness of God's promises. We think about all that he's done for us, that he wants to communicate with us through his word, the Bible. God has chosen to reveal himself through his written word, through the scriptures. And it is his authority that we as Christians need to submit to. The Bible is God's word. God's word is the Bible. The Bible is God's word. We've sung that as a fun spot song, haven't we, in church? Sometimes it's the simple songs that remind us of the great truths, the children's songs. The Bible is God's word. Don't know if you've noticed this in your conversations with people out in the community, out in the street, but people are often looking for something spiritual. The latest spiritual movement or in thing to be an authority in their life. For some people, that's self-help books. For others, motivational speakers, business gurus. Fill in the blank. People want someone to speak into their life and to come under their authority. Well, the Bible tells us that in our sinful nature, we've all ultimately turned from God's authority and thought that we could do a better job. I don't know if you've realized that before. It's kind of like the story of the football club owner who sacked the team's manager and put himself in charge, even though he didn't have a clue what he was doing, and the team's results were highly damaged because of that. We've all said, effectively, shove off God, I'm in charge, I know best, I'm the authority here, even though we don't. And that's caused a great chasm between us and God. It's led to spiritual death. And that's why Jesus lovingly had to come and rescue us by dying on that cross to save us, to pay the penalty that our sins deserve and bring us back into a right relationship with him. God knows best, and he has spoken. That's at the heart of the Christian faith. And he has spoken by his word. Do you know how blessed we are to have the Bible in our own language? Many people around the world don't have that privilege. And also, we have many translations. It's one version of the story, but we're blessed to have different translations. The Christian believer knows that God has chosen to reveal himself through the pages of Scripture, that he's spoken with an authority that is unrivaled. He is the creator of all. And nothing comes close to his word. We need to sit up and pay attention to what he has to say to us. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. Every word inspired by God through human authors. Yes, the human authors retain their personality and their character as they wrote. But it's God breathing his truth through them. God gave us his book that has stood the test of time. And there's so much evidence today that we can go and uncover for the historical accuracy and the reliability of the scriptures. Even in UK and Ireland, you can go to different museums and find copies of scripture, many of them that go back thousands of years. We can talk more about that afterwards if you'd like to know more and you want to go and discover some of these places. Because we all need, as Christians, to get to that place of confidence in scripture. Because believing the Bible as God's word is an issue of authority. Does God know best? Is he the authority over my life? Am I going to listen what he's said in his word or not? We all have that choice, don't we? God has spoken. Am I going to listen to him and submit to his authority? Or am I going to choose to ignore his word? It doesn't really make sense to say, yes, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, but I'm not so sure about the Bible. Yeah, I'm not so sure, because it's the Bible by which we discover who God is. It's the Bible through which we get to know Jesus Christ and why he came and what he came to do. It's the Bible where we actually discover who we are in light of all these things, why we're here, why God created us, how we're then to live. So we can't afford to kind of be a bit shaky. If you're in that position today and think, you know, I'm not sure if I trust the Bible, please research, talk to people, and most of all, spend time in the Word, because we really need to come to that place of confidence and trustworthiness where we go, yeah, the Bible, God has spoken, it's true, and He loves us. God can't lie, He tells the truth, and I'm going to choose to trust Him, even if I don't understand everything, even if some things just don't make sense in life at the moment. Either it's trustworthy or it's not. A bit of truth isn't something that you can lean the weight of your whole life upon, is it? And live in light of that. It's the one true God, Yahweh. He is the God who speaks. He spoke creation into existence. And He chose to speak His word to us. Claire mentioned about the prophets earlier in the fun spot, and God chose for a time to use prophets as His mouthpiece. But then we see it most clearly at the arrival on earth of His Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the one who shows us who God is and what He's like. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, "The Son," that's Jesus Christ, "is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." Isn't it remarkable that God just had to speak and creation came to be, and that God is sustaining all things in Christ by His powerful word? Without that, everything around us would collapse and fall apart. Because God is not only the creator, but the sustainer of the universe. We need to get to know Him, and we need to get to know His word, so we can lean on Him and fully trust Him and trust our lives to Him. The Christian then is somebody who willingly submits to the authority of the Bible. And we do as a church here at REC. It shapes what we do as a church. It's what we focus our gatherings around, hearing from God in His word. In a world that's constantly changing, and it is all the time, it's a scary place at times. How desperately we all need the stability of God's unchanging voice in authority over our life. So what does being Bible believers look like at REC? Again, like last week, with being Christ-centered, there's so much we could say. But I've decided to pick out three things for us to think about this morning. Now, firstly, to illustrate, there was an item in the news this week. And the item was talk of return of the high street store Woolworths. Did anyone hear about that? The possibility of Woolworths returning. And with it, their famous pick-and-mix aisle. Look at that. All the sweets you could choose from. Anyone remember Woolworths? I think they closed about 15 years ago. I remember lots of trips to Woolworths. Sadly, a lot of people today treat the Bible as a kind of spiritual pick and mix. I'll have a bit of the Psalms, the Gospels, maybe the nice bits of Romans, and that'll do me fine. Or maybe some random verses, I'll take them. Out of context, that's fine. They'll back up my lifestyle and my opinions. And I'll read what I want to into the text, rather than letting it first speak to me. That's a kind of spiritual pick and mix. Some people say, and I've heard this in conversation, I like Jesus. I don't really like Paul, the Apostle Paul. A kind of spiritual pick and mix. Or maybe somebody else says, well, I'm a New Testament kind of guy. Don't think much of the Old Testament, don't understand it. I'm just New Testament kind of person. But friends, the Bible doesn't give us that option to pick and mix when it comes to the Bible. It's one big story intertwined. It's God's story of His work in human history. God's love story of His rescue of humanity. a people that he has come to redeem. And Jesus affirms the scriptures as he points out during his life that the scriptures are all pointing to him. Mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago, the road to Emmaus, where Jesus explains to his followers on that road. And imagine that, being with him there, as he opens up the scriptures, the Old Testament, and shows how all the prophecies point and are fulfilled in him. Wow. So at REC, we want to be a church that's about the whole of God's word. The whole of scripture. God's revealed word spoken to us. Old and New Testaments. Poetry and narrative. That's why we usually, as I mentioned, preach through a book of the Bible and allow it to speak to us as we go through. And that means that we'll fall on difficult passages. We'll fall on things that require us to dig a little bit deeper to understand what God and his voice is saying to us through that passage. But occasionally, like this series, we'll take a more thematic approach and look at different things that link up on a topic such as God's word. But we want to be Bible believers, a people who take God at his word because it is trustworthy and true. Yes, some parts may be harder to understand than others, but we have to remember that this library, this library of books, contains different genres that are meant to be read accordingly and with different lenses. Some of you have different lenses on your glasses. We have to read the different genres with different lenses and try and understand what they're getting at. You wouldn't read a narrative story in exactly the same way as you'd read, for example, the Proverbs, the wisdom literature. We need to be sensible and careful when we come and handle God's word correctly. Just as and you'll appreciate this, Jeff, just as a miner digging for gold has to work hard to unearth such riches, we have to work hard to understand passages in their historical context, as well as the context of the whole big picture of the Bible story. Not just easily dismiss them if we find it tough, because actually then we could be missing out on some real spiritual treasure. We also, when we think about the whole of God's word and the whole of scripture, we can't just change it and make it more palatable to kind of fit around how we would like to live or kind of help it fit into our life. Actually, God's truth is wonderful because it also, as well as encouraging us, challenges us. And James in the New Testament talks about it being like a mirror. Do we match up? It shows us where we fall short of God's glory. It shows us where we need to change to live holy lives that are pleasing to him. God tells us the truth because he cannot lie, but also because he loves us and wants us to know that life eternal in Christ. He wants us to thrive as his people. And for that, he's willing to lovingly and gracefully tell us hard truths. We have a complete embarrassment of resources today, don't we, when we think about the different resources available to us, both hard copies and online, to help us read and study the Bible. From Bible reading notes to reference books to commentaries, online reading plans, podcasts, apps, seminars, we could keep going. It's an embarrassment of riches to help us uncover the truths of God's word. We do need to be careful and discerning in what we read and who we listen to, as there are many false teachers and people who want to lead us astray. But we do have the blessing of history, of many scholars and Bible teachers have spent hours and hours studying God's word, and we have their wisdom to lean off and learn from as well. If you've never really considered purchasing books or things like resources to help you in your Bible reading, then a couple of sites I'd recommend that I've found very helpful are 10ofthose.com, number 10. 10ofthose.com have some really good books. A lot of them are short as well, So you don't have to be, you know, reading for hours, just to help you study God's word. And the Good Book Company, some of you will have heard of that as well, has some good resources as well in terms of books that will help you grow in your love for Jesus and point you to the Bible and be faithful to Scripture. So let's get excited as God's people about the whole of God's word. All Scripture is God-breathed, not just the bits we find easier, but all of it. It's the whole truth that God has given to us to help us in our teaching. Sometimes we need to be rebuked and corrected and brought back in line with how God wants us to live. We all need to be trained in his ways, in righteousness, so that we might be able to live for him and do the good works that he's called us to do in this life. That's not the time, by the way, just in case you're wondering. An Illuminous clock, just to help us think what our time looks like during the week. Because the time that we have is a gift from God. Whenever we find ourselves, and I've found myself saying this, that there's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough hours in the day. We realize that actually it's more a question of priorities and commitments, isn't it? There is enough time in the day because God's blessed us with it. He's given us 24 hours each day. The question is, how are we going to spend it? How are we going to make the best use of it? Now, some commitments are hard to budge. Childcare responsibilities, looking after grandkids, things like that. Work's kind of important. But other things, what about the rest of the time that we have? Are we using it effectively? If the Bible is important enough to us, if we want God to direct our lives, then we will make time to read it, won't we? We will set aside good time to pray to the Lord and to ask him to show us his truth in his word. Because time in God's word is time well spent. Peter, writing to Christians, says this in his first letter. For you have been born again. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. As a church, we want to share God's living and enduring word. Not just our own words and our own mere opinions. We want to take direction from the one true living God. In chapter 1, Peter was saying in his letter that the word not only causes us to be born again, to have spiritual life, but to live for God. It enables us to live in his ways. And he says that effectively we're here for a season, but God's word endures forever. I was speaking to a man this week who's been a Christian for many years. And when he was much younger, he was in the army barracks at Catterick Garrison in North Yorkshire, not too far away. And it was a Christian in his dorm who suggested, when everyone else in the dorm wasn't, I believe, at that stage, suggested that the dorm start reading the Bible together. And they started reading a chapter each day and taking it in turns. And that's how his journey to faith started. As he was exposed to the Word of God, God started to work in his heart and his life. And it was the beginning of a lifelong journey that started in a small dormitory where a Christian was bold enough to say, "Shall we read God's word, the Bible, together?" Nothing major, nothing out of the ordinary in a sense, just the question, would you like to read the Bible? And there was that opportunity, and over time, the word of God, by the Spirit of God, did its work in his heart, and he became a Christian believer and a very active one throughout the years. The psalmist says in the reading we had in Psalm 119, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is that something that you resonate with when you feed on the spiritual food of God's word? Is that something you need to get excited about once more, if perhaps you haven't for a while? That God's word is spiritual food to us. And it shows us the way to go. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And it helps us to choose not to go the wrong way as well. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. What an encouragement that is for us to get the Bible open in our own quiet times, but also with somebody else, either for mutual encouragement or an evangelistic opportunity to get excited about opening up God's word together. Maybe this week you might think about asking somebody if they'd like to read the Bible with you. Either because you're a new Christian and you'd like to grow more, maybe you're a mature Christian and you'd like somebody to help somebody to grow more in the word. Or maybe you just want to read the Bible with a friend for your mutual encouragement. Wouldn't that be great? To get the Bible open more and be encouraged as he speaks to us. For us as a church, spending time in God's word is a priority. That's why we encourage one another to read it daily and to have our time with the Lord, whilst remembering at the same time, because I think a lot of Christians can fall into this trap, we need to be careful that God's love for us is not based on our quiet time record. If you've been struggling recently with spending time in God's word, God kind of isn't putting a black mark against your name and saying, oh, they're rubbish, you know, shaking his head at you. God loves you. God's done a work in your life and he wants to help you to spend time in his word. On the flip side, God doesn't give us all these bonus marks because we've spent hours in his word and he's, loves us more because we've done this great work. No. It should be our desire, shouldn't it, as his children, to spend quality time with our Lord and Saviour. As the children chorus picks up, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Mentioned, it's the children's songs that teach us great truths. Read our Bible, pray every day, and we will grow. God promises to meet with us in his word. Growth groups at Rec are it's another name for our house groups or home groups. There's so many different names for the same thing, isn't there? But it's a good term, growth groups, because as we meet together around God's word in the week, we can encourage one another to grow in his word. We can learn from one another and study together. I'd encourage you to consider that if you've not yet considered being part of a growth group. Even if you can't make it every week, just to be connected with a group to share prayer requests with one another and to look out for one another in that smaller group is really valuable. Come and speak to me if you'd like to find out more about growth groups. You know, sometimes, just thinking about growth groups, sometimes there's been days where I've thought, I'm sure some of you have had this, I'm quite tired today, or I'm not really feeling it, or I'm not quite in the mood. And you go along to a growth group, whether on an evening or daytime group, and by the end of it, you just come away so blessed and encouraged, having spent time with God's people in God's word. And so I'd really encourage you that sometimes we just need to push ourselves to go, yeah, I know this is right. This is the right thing to do. This is going to be good for my soul to get along and study God's word, and then be blessed by it. And at Rec, we want to spend time preaching and teaching the scriptures so that we might be equipped as God's people to do God's work. Will we join the psalmist in saying, praise be to you, Lord, teach me your decrees. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Psalm 119, verse 16. And pray that prayer in verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Wow. Thirdly and finally, have a look at this picture. Maybe you've heard the phrase, it's gone in one ear and out the other. Anyone ever said that to you? I remember my parents saying that to me when I was younger. Something teachers, I'm sure, will have said to students at one time or another. But the question is, how is your spiritual listening? Because the Bible doesn't let us escape from the connection between listening or hearing and doing. If we've really listened and understood what God is saying to us in His Word, then we'll put it into practice. And it's a great tragedy when people read the Bible without considering what God is saying to them through it. At REC, we're convinced that the Word of God, the Bible, speaks to us today. And we have testimonies here of transformed lives to prove it. With God's help, the Bible is meant to be applied to our lives. James says in his letter, "Do not merely listen to the Word," that's God's Word, "and deceive yourself. Do what it says." In other words, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Put it into practice. We must be doers of God's Word and not just hearers. And that's why it's so important for us that we're living out what we're learning in God's Word. We don't study the Bible as an academic exercise, but we want to grow in our love for the Lord. We want to hear what He's saying to us, and we want it to impact our lives on a daily basis. Have you ever read a passage or a verse and thought, wow, that's really speaking directly to me and my circumstances? It's amazing how God, by His Spirit, does that in our lives. The writer to the Hebrews tells us about the power of God's Word. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The Bible is not an old book of an old dusty book of myths and legends. It's a spiritual living word of God's truth. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, cutting to the heart. And there's the promise that anyone who comes to the Bible in prayer and faith receives a life-giving word from the Lord. So it's the so what question that we all need to consider. What does this mean for me today? As I'm reading a Bible passage, what does this tell me about God? And so what? What do I need to do about it, this truth? The Bible speaks to us today, and the question is, are we listening? Are we responding with our lives? So as we finish this morning thinking about being Bible believers, at REC we believe that the Bible is God's Word, and this means that it's front and central in all that we do. We believe the whole of God's Word, the whole of Scripture, and we believe that time in the Bible is time well spent. When we ask God's help to apply it to our lives, by His Spirit, He enables us to put it into practice. We're going to close by singing Speak, O Lord, which is a prayer. And it's a song that we usually sing before a sermon, but actually I thought we'd sing it today at the end of the service as we go out into this new week, asking God to speak to us as we spend time in His Word, the Bible, throughout the week. Let's sing Speak, O Lord, together, and let's make it our prayer.